The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We're going to jump straight into Safety Mondays, which we do every Mondays with the Fire Officer Jude Rogers. Hello, Fire Officer Jude. How are you?
I am wonderful. Pleasant good evening to you, Carrie V. Hey. A very lovely spirit this afternoon. I'm feeding off of your energy this afternoon, Carrie V.
Take it. So I know today, I'm giving it away free, right?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Once you ask for it, you're getting it. So take all. I have some crockers back there. I'll put it and I'll ship it to you.
And a pleasant good afternoon to all very, very lovely listeners who are probably tuned in and ready to weigh in on this afternoon topic, because this is a serious topic this afternoon, though.
Definitely, it is. So let's get into it. We are going to talk about hurricane season preparedness, Fire Officer Jude. And before we dive straight into it, I want to know, and I want our listeners to understand the role and function of the fire service. What role do they play, especially when it comes to hurricane preparedness and response right here in Trinidad and Tobago?
Right, so definitely the Trinidad Tobago Fire Service being the premier, what I would say, the frontline first responders when there is an emergency or when there is an impending emergency such as a hurricane, we're the ones that would be first on the ground. Normally, we're first boots on the ground based on our capabilities to be able to respond. I want to go back to many, many situations where we had here like flooding, as a result of tropical storms, even hurricanes, fallen trees, all of those activities and all of those type of situations, the fire service has a frontline role in terms of response, assessment, and in terms of being able to meet the need on the ground for the population where they may be affected.
Right.
Now, we're not the only agency on the ground, but again, we respond to the most critical situations. For instance, if roadways are impassable, if persons are trapped, let's say, on the roof of their building because of water which have come up because of heavy flooding due to hurricanes, again, we would respond to those. A lot of the response, though, happens either before, meaning making sure persons go to the shelters, because shelters will get involved.
Yeah.
And if we believe that a particular area is going to be heavily affected, the advice is going to come through the ODPM, through the Ministry of National Security, to get up and out of there and to the shelters.
Nice.
So those are some of the type of responses. And of course, the response comes, much of it comes after the situation would have happened.
Oh, okay. Understand. So let's find out, when is the hurricane season, though? When does it start or when does it end?
All right, so for those of you who don't know, the hurricane season begins mainly in the month of June, and it goes 1st of June, and it goes all the way up to November 30th. So guess what? We're smack in the middle of the hurricane season.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of it, all right? And whenever I think about the hurricane season, I think about my friends in the Trinidad and Tobago Meteorological Services, because we depend heavily on them to forecast and to give us guidance as to how severe they expect the season to be. And so I want to pay kudos to the members of persons who belong to Trinidad and Tobago Meteorological Services, all of the climatologists, the weather forecasters there, the meteorologists who work there, because they provide a bulletin and they provide information. They have products that they send out to us, their stakeholders, Trinidad and Tobago Fire Service, the police service. All of us are involved in meetings prior to the season, and they discuss what we can expect during the season or the upcoming season before it happens.
Wow.
So guess what? We in the fire service have an idea as to what resources we may need to have by that time.
Nice.
You know?
Nice.
So it kind of prepares us. We begin to get prepared.
Great. But that sounds great, because, I mean, for persons like myself and even the other listeners, we wouldn't know what happens prior. So, like, as you mentioned there, Fire Officer Jude, you know, you all would have been in meetings beforehand what to expect and how to operate, right? So, as for the regular person, like myself and the other listeners, what is the first thing that we should do? Should we stay informed at least first?
All right. So first and foremost, we advise persons, you can do a lot before our hurricane season hits. Mm-hmm. Just like I talked about before with your vehicles and getting your vehicles prepared, changing your brakes, changing your tires. Similarly, you can stay informed first and foremost, but mm-hmm. Even if you're informed, Caribbean, the storm may give you 1, 2, or 3 days, depending on how quickly it forms and the severity. So what we want people to do is to, one, start to gather your items beforehand. Mm-hmm. So you should have a stock of an emergency kit, mm-hmm. and it should be enough to last you and your family 3 to 7 days. And what am I talking about? What should you have in your emergency kit, Caribbean? Mm. Of course, portable drinking water. Right. If you can have stored water, at least a gallon per person per day. Wow. 1 gallon.
That's a lot.
All right, if you can have that per day. It sounds like a lot, right?
It does.
All right. So just think about that 5 gallon bottle, you know, the one that you normally can purchase at the...
With the hook.
Yes.
The one with the hook.
Yes,
right.
That's right. That's
okay,
right.
Okay.
Just think about having like 5 of those. That's,
right.
That's,
you know, but that's fine.
That carries 5 gallons. So that's like about 5 would be about 4 to 5 of that would be 20 to 25 gallons. Because remember, you have to have 1 gallon per day. That's a lot of water, and it may look as like a little bit, but when water supply, remember, WASA is not going to be able to supply us with water during that period, because most of their plants are going to be down because of the amount of silt and debris that will be entering. They're not going to be able to filter all that. So obviously, water shut down. You don't want water to bathe, water to cook, water to drink. That's why you need so much water. So moving on from that. Non-perishable goods.
Right.
This is where you want to have a little stock of canned goods, dried goods, a little bit of snacks, some baby formula, you know, things that you're not going to be able to pick up readily at the store that you don't necessarily need to cook.
Yeah.
Think about what I'm talking about, right? You may not have to process it much for it to be ready to eat. So you have your little supplies that you can have there available to you.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us who need medical supplies, please make sure that you have a 7-day supply. You may not be able to venture out onto the road. And Carrie V, this is for hurricanes. Eh?
Yeah.
This is not for the little storms that we get and we come out and we watching outside. And no. This is for like if the big one hits.
Right.
And for those of you who have no idea, I have sympathized with my friends and my family in Grenada who would have gotten that. And we would have reached out, us in the fire service, and many people in Trinidad and Tobago would have donated stuff to Grenada and Carriacou, et cetera, because they were hit. Petite Martinique was hit very, very, very hard. Yeah. And we know we all have to reach out to them, and Grenada has been recovering.
Hmm.
So you're going to need a 7-day supply of medication. If you know that you have to get your diabetes, pressure, whatever, now is your time to refill your card at your pharmacy, have that ready there so that you can have that first aid kit. A little first aid kit, little bandages, you know, sterilized wipes, bandages, et cetera, you know, that you can have if something happens, you're able to treat with a wound or whatever the case may be.
Right.
All right. Of course, a flashlight, electricity goes during this period.
Yeah.
A flashlight, candles, extra batteries, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Caribbean, I have my portable power bank, and that is always charged.
Yeah.
That can give me 4 recharge, 20,000 milliamps. You want to have something like that, phone chargers, etc.
Okay.
I'm gonna say this one, and many people ask me, why do you need this? Caribbean, a whistle for signaling.
Wow.
Why do you think you need that?
Because just in case you get swept away or you're in a lost area, you're hearing persons, but you can't locate them, you can blow the whistle, just like from Titanic.
Correct. What if you're injured, you're too faint, you're unable to move, but the least you could do is blow that whistle. It's around your neck and you can amplify the song, especially for persons who are differently abled or incapacitated or who may be what we call ailing. Those are the ones that you'd want to have the whistle so we can go to them. We can reach them in a time of disaster. I can tell you, that helps us as fire officers to get to you quicker. Okay. All right?
Hmm.
Things like face masks and sanitizers, obviously, because you know it's going to be a little bit, a lot of infections are going to take place around this time.
Correct.
You know, all the rodents, all these things, they're trying to fight for survival too. So this is where cholera and other disasters and other stuff can come up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Et cetera, et cetera. Clean plastic bags, garbage bags, duct tape, all these things are keeping things waterproof and storing away quickly. And all of our documents should be in a waterproof sealed package.
Correct. Say that louder. Say it louder.
All of us should have our documents. Let me tell you what kind of documents. ID, property documents, insurance documents, waterproof bags, deeds, all of these things. Store them away. Marriage certificate for those of you who are married and those of you who want to stay in the good graces of the family.
Yes, get it out there. Now, Fire Mr. Jude, we have to take a break, and when we come back from the break, I want us to discuss an emergency plan. Right?
We
would be talking about it, but you know, how many persons actually made a plan and go through it over and over again with the family? So when we come back, we are going to be talking about creating an emergency plan. Yeah?
Definitely.
So we're going to take a quick one and be back.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
Guys, continue keeping it locked to Freedom 106.5 FM. Carrie Vias here, and we are in Safety Mondays with Fire Officer Jude Rodders. We're going to take a quick one and be back. Keep it locked.
Is level, and this is the decider. West Indies need our energy to take it home. This Tuesday is the CG United West Indies versus Pakistan ODI at the Brian Lara Cricket Academy from 9:30 a.m. Let's pack the stands, bring the noise.
West Indies going higher.
Show the men in maroon that we've got their backs. Every four, every six, every wicket. Let's turn up the energy and make the rumors shake. Rally your crew, grab your flags, and let's rally around the West Indies. Guardian Media Limited, proud official media partner of the West Indies cricket. Be there, and be loud.
This is the land of oil and music.
Oil and music at the Freebird Festival. A food-inclusive event like no other. When Steel Pan and David Rudder touch the stage.
We are heading down to the Point of Pier Golf Course on our Independence Day. We celebrate our national instrument and our icons in true style. Witness a once-in-a-lifetime joint performance by King David Rudder.
Welcome one and all to the land of...
This is not a fetting here, this is...
Backed by the powerful Exeter Steel Orchestra in a set for the ages. Southland Skiffle backing Irfan Elves and Sherwin Winchester. Supernovas jamming alongside Aaron Fingal and Gonzo. And world record holder Joshua Regrello alongside Poison Sound, Chucky Ray-Ban and iSasha. Plus, a tribute to the mighty Shadow by his son, Shalyn Bailey. Also featuring Ricky Jai, Jam Melody, Trupati, Jimmy October, Mungal Patasaw, Shiv Shakti Dancers, Malik Tessa Drummers, and all of our beloved traditional characters.
Get your tickets at islandetickets.com, Freebird Restaurant, Tipsy Ibis, Show Cafe, 519, and Munch Kings East, Central, and Tobago.
The land of
oil and music at Freebird Festival. On Independence Day at 2 p.m., we are heading down to the Point of Pier Golf Course, powered by Lullaby Group, Raquel Services, Calus, and official media partner Guardian Media Limited, Slam 100.5 FM, Vibe CT 105 FM, Sangi 106.1 FM, and 95 The Ultimate One.
Every weekday morning, Tusca Martinez brings you the stories that matter to you. On The Human Impact, tackling the issues of the day, exploring health and wellness that hits home, diving into powerful features, bold opinions, and a book club that keeps you thinking. It's thoughtful, it's fearless, and it's yours. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Speak your mind, Trinidad and Tobago, and let's make it count. The Human Impact, only on Freedom 106.5 FM.
The cricket action is heating up, and Freedom 106.5 FM is your home of cricket this summer. From July 20th to August 3rd, it's 8 explosive T20 matchups across Jamaica, St. Kitts, and Miami as the West Indies take on Australia and Pakistan. Then it's 3 massive one-day internationals right here in Trinidad, August 8th, 10th, and 12th, as Pakistan returns to battle the Windies on home turf. That's 11 international matches live on Freedom 106.5 FM, plus 11 dynamic one-hour highlight specials on CNC3. Follow Freedom 106.5 FM on social media for the full match schedule. Real cricket, real discussion, only on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Coverage brought to you by Alpha Transport. We're not just about transport, we're about service.
Man, I went by the ATM to get some cash and the machine saying insufficient funds. I sure I have money in my account.
Boy, that happened to me already. Here, what to do? Make a report to your bank. But if you're still not satisfied with
without the dealing with it, contact the Office of the Financial Services Ombudsman. Let me text him, you know.
If you want to resolve a complaint with your bank, non-bank financial institution, or insurance company, contact the Office of the Financial Services Ombudsman at 800-4-FSO or visit www.ofso.org.tt. We can help, and our services are free.
Is level, and this is the decider. West Indies need our energy to take it home. This Tuesday is the CG United West Indies versus Pakistan ODI at the Brian Lara Cricket Academy from 9:30 a.m. Let's pack the stands, bring the noise.
West Indies going higher.
Show the men in maroon that we've got their backs. Every four, every six, every wicket. Let's turn up the energy and make the rumors shake. Rally your crew, grab your flags, and let's rally around the West Indies. Guardian Media Limited, proud official media partner of the West Indies cricket. Be there. And be loud.
When you need the independence to speak your mind, you take it on the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5 FM.
Welcome back. But we're going to get back into the conversation with Fire Officer Jude Rogers. It's all about Safety Mondays. Welcome back, Fire Officer Jude.
Yes, I'm back with you, Carrie V, and I did not forget the question that you asked.
Yes.
And it relates specifically, if I'm not mistaken, as to what should be my evacuation, or no, what should be the
emergency plan.
Emergency plan, and what should it entail for hurricanes, and how can families prepare? So let me just get straight into it. Every emergency plan for your hurricane season begins with you having your emergency numbers all set out. So you have a communication plan. You know who to call in the event of an emergency. And if I were to highlight those numbers for you, of course, as we all know, the number for fire service is 990. The number for police is going to be 999. And the number for emergency services such as GMRTT or your ambulance services are 811. All right? Now, I can tell you that the Trinidad Tobago has a disaster preparedness plan that is through agencies such as the ODAPM, who's responsible for disaster preparedness, and they coordinate all of the emergency response teams, meaning the fire service, police service, the DMUs in the corporation, which are the disaster management units of every borough and city corporation. There are persons assigned there as disaster managers who would bring relief. And the ODPM has is the repository or the custodian of the relief supplies for Trinidad and Tobago. We're talking about mattresses, tarpaulin, and even some level of food supply, non-perishable food supply. Yeah. I would ask every family member to determine in your community what is the alternative or the emergency point that you can go to in the event that your home is no longer a safe place to wait out the storm. And so for most communities, either your community center or secondary or primary schools in your area, one of those are going to be designated as a shelter for your home.
Yes.
Or for your community. So, Carrie, you need to assess quickly, is my home capable of, am I capable of waiting out the storm at home, or do I need to move with my family? And if that you need to move, then you need to put a plan in place for transportation, and how do we move everyone from those who are sick, infirmed, or who are capable of actually moving. So we want to transport them and get transport to those locations for them.
Yes.
We should have a leader in your home. Somebody should be identified as your leader, and that person should be in charge of responding to all of these questions that I'm talking about and planning out all of these action.
Yes.
Every family member should have a grab bag that they can readily move with, that will have a change of clothing for probably a couple of days, because you may have to be away from your home for a couple of days, your medication and all of your pertinent documents and information that you may need. Those are the basic things that you need to move with. Once you go to a shelter, they normally will provide food and other items for you and so forth, as released by the ODPM and by the borough corporations. So it's quite a lot to take in. And I didn't forget your pets. some of us, we need to secure our pets, and bring them on the inside or bring them to a place of safety or take them to some sort of animal refuge if you can do so before.
Right.
Those of us waiting out the storm, Caribbean, our plan is going to be a little bit different. We may want to board up our windows,
but
protecting our homes from glass.
Not to cut you across there, because we're just about 3 minutes away from the news,
and I wanted us
to highlight that when we come back from the news, because I mean, it have some persons who can't wait all the hurricane or the storm or even the heavy winds. So when we come back from the 5 p.m. news, I want us to go through that. But let me just go back to what you were saying in terms of creating a plan. This also means that you, as the let's say for instance, the household leader or even other persons in the family, they need to be informed, they need to be aware, so you need to reach out to the Office of Disaster Preparedness and Management, which is the ODPM. You can even reach out to the Borough Corporation. So whichever...
That's right, the Disaster Management Unit or the Borough Corporation in your community.
Correct.
Find out what are the shelters that belong to your area or closest to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can make those relevant plans. So you must understand the type of house that you are in or the type of abode that you're in. So you would be able to say, well, listen, I don't feel we will be able to stay here, you know. So you need to reach out to the corporations or even the ODPM. We need to...
If you belong to a low-lying area, Caribbean, you need to move.
Mm-hmm.
Most persons who know that they normally get flooded out and the river comes up or the roadway filled in, you need to move. Don't stay in those situations.
Definitely. Yeah? So we're just about 1 minute, a minute and a half away. So let's head to the 5 p.m. news. And then when we come back, we'll talk about how can we further secure our homes. That's for the persons who decide or who thinks that, hey, my home would be strong enough to withstand this. All I could do is just, you know, reinforce it. So when we come back from the news, we'll discuss that.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you so much, Fire Officer Jude.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
Send me those messages, 306-1065. Also, I'm going to hear your tips on how you prepare for a hurricane. I don't think that we talk about that often. So this is a chance. With Fire Officer Jude Rogers, let's hear, how do you prepare for a hurricane? Let me know. In the meantime, we're going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, it's going to be so much more. So keep it locked. We'll be back after this.
The cricket action is heating up, and Freedom 106.5 FM is your home of cricket this summer. From July 20th to August 3rd, it's 8 explosive T20 matchups across Jamaica, St. Kitts, and Miami as the West Indies take on Australia and Pakistan. Then it's 3 massive one-day internationals right here in Trinidad, August 8th, 10th, and 12th, as Pakistan returns to battle the Windies on home turf. That's 11 international matches live on Freedom 106.5 FM, plus 11 dynamic one-hour highlight specials on CNC3. Follow Freedom 106.5 FM on social media for the full match schedule. Real cricket, real discussion, only on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Coverage brought to you by Alpha Transport. We're not just about transport, we're about service.
The big board impact just got even bigger. Introducing 3 new highway billboard locations in San Fernando, Chaguanas, and Paget. That's right. High traffic and high impact spots catered to catching eyes. Whether you're launching a product, promoting a sale, or making a statement, get flexible scheduling, real-time updates, and the most eye-catching and dynamic visuals with free artwork. Go big, go digital, go everywhere with the Big Board Company. 18 locations nationwide. Call 368-3754 for more information.
Are you tired of the same old boring drive home from work?
Look no further.
Get ready for the ultimate after-work rush with Freedom 106.5 FM's The Overdrive with Davey. Mondays to Fridays from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Let Davey take you on a thrilling ride of non-stop entertainment and education. He covers the topics of the day, delves into the latest food and lifestyle trends, and brings dynamic guests from exciting professions to share their professional stories and experiences. Take advantage of this energizing and engaging experience. Tune into Freedom 106.5 FM. Mondays to Fridays, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. for The Overdrive. Overdrive with Davey. The ultimate way to end your day with a bang.
This is the land of oil.
Oil and music at the Freebird Festival, a food inclusive event like no other. When Steel Pan and David Rada touch the stage,
we are heading down to the Pointe au Pierre Golf Course on our Independence Day. We celebrate our national instrument and our icons in true style. Witness a once in a lifetime joint performance by King David Rada.
Welcome, welcome, one and all to the land of faith.
This is not a fitting here, this is
backed by the powerful Exeter Steel Orchestra in a set for the ages. Southland Skiffle backing Irfan Alves and Sherwin Winchester. Supernovas jamming alongside Aaron Fingal and Gonzo. And world record holder Joshua Regrello alongside Poison Sound, Chucky Ray-Ban and iSasha. Plus, a tribute to the Mighty Shadow by his son, Shalon Bailey. Also featuring Ricky Jai, Jam Melody, Trupati, Jimmy October, Mungal Patasaw, Shiv Shakti Dancers, Malik Tessa Drummers, and all of our beloved traditional characters.
Get your tickets at islandetickets.com, Freebird Restaurant, Tipsy Ibis, Show Cafe, 519, and Munch Kings East, Central, and Tobago.
The land of
oil and music at Freebird Festival. On Independence Day at 2 p.m., we are heading down to the Pointe au Pierre Golf Course, powered by Lullaby Group, Raquel Services, Calus, and official media partner Guardian Media Limited, Slam 100.5 FM, Vibe CT 105 FM, Sangi 106.1 FM, and 95 The Ultimate One.
She is fun and engaging. It's Carrie V on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
Welcome back, Freedom 106.5 FM. Carrie V is here. I'm in a company. I'm going all the way to 6 p.m. This is the Overdrive, and we're going to jump straight into Safety Mondays, which we do every Mondays with the Fire Officer Jude Rogers. Hello, Fire Officer Jude. How are you?
I am wonderful. Pleasant good evening to you, Carrie V. Hey. A very lovely spirit this afternoon. I'm feeding off of your energy this afternoon, Carrie V.
Take it. So I know today, yeah, just, I'm giving it away free. Right?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Once you ask for it, you're getting it. So take all. I have some crockers back there. I'll put it and I'll ship it to you. So,
and a pleasant good afternoon to all very, very lovely, you know, listeners who are probably tuned in and ready to weigh in on this afternoon topic, because mm-hmm. this is a serious topic this afternoon, though.
Definitely, it is. So let's get into it. We are going to talk about hurricane season preparedness, Fire Officer Jude. And before we dive straight into it, I want to know, and I want our listeners to understand the role and function of the fire service. What role do they play, especially when it comes to hurricane preparedness and response right here in Trinidad and Tobago?
Right, so definitely the Trinidad Tobago Fire Service being the premier, what I would say, the frontline first responders when there is an emergency or when there is an impending emergency such as a hurricane, mm-hmm. We're the ones that would be first on the ground. Normally, we're first boots on the ground mm-hmm. Based on our capabilities to be able to respond. I want to go back to many, many situations where we had here like flooding, as a result of tropical storms, even hurricanes, fallen trees, all of those activities and all of those type of situations, the fire service has a frontline role in terms of response, mm-hmm. assessment, and in terms of being able to meet the need on the ground for the population where they may be affected.
Right.
Now, we're
right.
not the only agency on the ground, mm-hmm. but again, we respond to the most critical situations. For instance, if roadways are impassable, if persons are trapped, let's say, on the roof of their building because mm-hmm. of water which have come up because of heavy flooding due to hurricanes, mm-hmm. Again, we would respond to those. A lot of the response, though, happens either before, mm-hmm. meaning making sure persons go to the shelters, because shelters will get involved.
Yeah.
And if we believe that a particular area is going to be heavily affected, the advice is going to come through the ODPM, through the Ministry of National Security, right. to get up and out of there and to the shelters.
Nice.
So those are some of the type of responses. And of course, the response comes, much of it comes after the situation would have happened.
Oh, okay. Understand. So let's find out, when is the hurricane season, though? When does it start or when does it end?
All right, so for those of you who don't know, the hurricane season begins mainly in the month of June.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes 1st of June and it goes all the way up to November 30th. So guess what? We're smack in the middle of the hurricane season.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I think about the hurricane season, I think about my friends in the Trinidad and Tobago Meteorological Services, because we depend heavily on them to forecast mm-hmm. and to give us guidance as to how severe they expect the season to be. And so I want to pay kudos to the members of persons who belong to Trinidad and Tobago Meteorological Services, all of the climatologists, the weather forecasters there, the meteorologists who work there,
mm-hmm.
because they provide a bulletin and they provide information. They have products that they send out to us, their stakeholders, Trinidad and Tobago Fire Service, right. the police service. All of us are involved in meetings prior to the season,
mm-hmm.
and they discuss what we can expect during the season or the upcoming season before it happens.
Wow.
So guess what? We in the fire service have an idea as to what resources we may need to have
right.
by that time.
Nice.
You know?
Nice.
So it kind of prepares us. We begin to get prepared.
Great. But that sounds great, because, I mean, for persons like myself and even the other listeners, we wouldn't know what happens prior. So, like, as you mentioned there, Fire Officer Jude, you know, you all would have been in meetings beforehand what to expect and how to operate,
yes.
right? So.
Yes.
As for the regular person, like myself and the other listeners, what is the first thing that we should do? Should we stay informed at least first?
All right. So first and foremost, we advise persons, you can do a lot before our hurricane season hits.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I talked about before with your vehicles and getting your vehicles prepared, changing your brakes, changing your tires. Similarly, you can stay informed first and foremost, but mm-hmm. Even if you're informed, Caribbean, this storm may give you 1, 2, or 3 days, depending on how quickly it forms
oh.
and the severity. So what we want people to do is to, one, start to gather your items beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So you should have a stock of an emergency kit,
mm-hmm.
and it should be enough to last you and your family 3 to 7 days. And what am I talking about? What should you have in your emergency kit, Caribbean?
Mm.
Of course, portable drinking water.
Right.
If you can have stored water, at least a gallon per person per day.
Wow.
1 gallon.
That's a lot.
All right, if you can have that per day. It sounds like a lot, right?
It does.
All right. So just think about that 5 gallon bottle, you know, the one that you normally can purchase at the...
With the hook.
Yes.
The one with the hook.
Yes.
Right.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
Okay.
Just think about having like 5 of those. That's,
right.
That's,
you know, but that's fine.
That carries 5 gallons. So that's like about 5 would be about 4 to 5 of that would be 20 to 25 gallons. Because
yeah.
remember, you have to have 1 gallon per day. That's a lot of water, and it may look as like a little bit, but when water supply, remember, WASA is not going to be able to supply us with water during that period
yeah.
because most of their plants are going to be down because of the amount of silt and debris that will be entering. They're not going to be able to filter that. So obviously, water shut down. You talk
right.
about water to bathe, water to cook, water to drink. That's why you need so much water. So moving on from that. Non-perishable goods.
Right.
This is where you want to have a little stock of canned goods, dry goods, a little bit of snacks, some baby formula, you know, things that you're not going to be able to pick up readily at the store that you don't necessarily need to cook.
Yeah.
Think about what I'm talking about, right? You may not have to process it much for it to be ready to eat. So you have your little supplies that you can have there available to you.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us who need medical supplies, please make sure that you have a 7-day supply. You may not be able to venture out onto the road. And Carrie V, this is for hurricanes. Eh?
Yeah.
This is not for the little storms that we get and we come out and we watching outside. And no. This is for like if the big one hits.
Right.
And for those of you who have no idea, I have sympathized with my friends and my family in Grenada who would have gotten that. And we would have reached out, us in the fire service, and many people in Trinidad and Tobago would have donated stuff to Grenada and Carriacou, et cetera, because they were hit. Petite Martinique was hit very, very, very hard.
Yeah.
And we know we all has reached out to them, and Grenada has been recovering.
Hmm.
So you're going to need a 7-day supply of medication. If you know that you have to get your diabetes, pressure, whatever, now is your time to refill your card at your pharmacy, have that ready there so that you can have that first aid kit. A little first aid kit, little bandages, you know, sterilized wipes, bandages, et cetera, you know, that you can have if something happens, you're able to treat with a wound or whatever the case may be.
Right.
All right. Of course, a flashlight, electricity goes during this period.
Yeah.
A flashlight, candles, extra batteries, stuff like that. Currently, I have my portable power bank, and that is always charged.
Yeah.
That can give me 4 recharge, 20,000 milliamps. You want to have something like that, phone chargers, etc.
Okay.
I'm gonna say this one, and plenty of people ask me, why do you need this? Currently, a whistle for signaling.
Wow.
Why do you think you need that?
Because just in case you get swept away or you're in a lost area, you're hearing persons, but you can't locate them, you can blow the whistle, just like from Titanic.
Correct. What if you're injured, you're too faint, you're unable to move, but the least you could do is blow that whistle. It's around your neck and you can amplify the song, especially for persons who are differently abled or incapacitated or who may be what we call ailing. Those are the ones that you'd want to have the whistle so we can go to them. We can reach them in a time of disaster. I can tell you, that helps us as fire officers to get to you quicker. Okay. All right? Things like face masks and sanitizers, obviously, because you know it's going to be a little bit, a lot of infections are going to take place around this time.
Correct.
You know, all the rodents, all these things, they're trying to fight for survival too. So this is where cholera and other disasters and other stuff can come up, you know? Et cetera, et cetera. Clean plastic bags, garbage bags, duct tape, all these things are keeping things waterproof and storing away quickly. And all of our documents should be in a waterproof sealed package.
Correct. Say it louder.
All of us should have our documents. Let me tell you what kind of documents. ID, property documents, insurance documents, waterproof bags, deeds, all of these things. Store them away. Marriage certificate for those of you who are married and those of you who want to in the good graces of the family.
Yes, get it out there. Now, Fire Officer Jude, we have to take a break, and when we come back from the break, I want us to discuss an emergency plan, right?
We would be talking
about it, but you know, how many persons actually made a plan and go through it over and over again with the family? So when we come back, we are going to be talking about creating an emergency plan. Yeah?
Definitely.
So we're going to take a quick one and be back.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Welcome back. But we're going to get back into the conversation with Fire Officer Jude Rogers. It's all about Safety Mondays. Welcome back, Fire Officer Jude.
Yes, I'm back with you, Carrie V, and I did not forget the question that you asked.
Yes.
And it relates specifically, if I'm not mistaken, as to what should be my evacuation, or no, what should be the
emergency plan.
Emergency plan, and what should it entail for hurricanes, and how can families prepare? So let me just get straight into it. Every emergency plan for your hurricane season begins with you having your emergency numbers all set out. So you have a communication plan. You know who to call in the event of an emergency. And if I were to highlight those numbers for you, of course, as we all know, the number for fire service is 990. The number for police is going to be 999. And the number for emergency services such as GMRTT or your ambulance services are 811. All right? Now, I can tell you that the Trinidad Tobago has a disaster preparedness plan that is through agencies such as the ODAPM, who's responsible for disaster preparedness, and they coordinate all of the emergency response teams, meaning the fire service, police service, the DMUs in the corporation, which are the disaster management units of every borough and city corporation. There are persons assigned there as disaster managers who would bring relief. And the ODPM has is the repository or the custodian of the relief supplies for Trinidad and Tobago. We're talking about mattresses, tarpaulin, and even some level of food supply, non-perishable food supply. Yeah. I would ask every family member to determine in your community what is the alternative or the emergency point that you can go to in the event that your home is no longer a safe place to wait out the storm. And so for most communities, secondary or primary schools in your area, one of those are going to be designated as a shelter for your home.
Yes.
Or for your community. So, Caribbean, you need to assess quickly, is my home capable of waiting out the storm at home, or do I need to move with my family? And if that you need to move, then you need to put a plan in place for transportation and how do we move everyone from those who are sick, infirmed, or who are capable of actually moving. So we want to transport them and get transport to those locations for them.
Yes.
We should have a leader in your home. Somebody should be identified as your leader, and that person should be in charge of responding to all of these questions that I'm talking about and planning out all of these action.
Yes.
Every family member should have a grab bag that they can readily move with, that will have a change of clothing for probably a couple of days, because you may have to be away from your home for a couple of days, your medication and all of your pertinent documents and information that you may need. Those are the basic things that you need to move with. Once you go to a shelter, they normally will provide food and other items for you and so forth, as released by the ODPM and by the Borough Corporations. So it's quite a lot to take in. And I didn't forget your pets. Some of us may need to secure our pets and bring them on the inside, or bring them to a place of safety, or take them to some sort of animal refuge if you can do so before.
Right.
Those of us waiting out the storm, Caribbean, our plan is going to be a little bit different. We may want to board up our windows, protecting our homes from glass.
Not to cut you across there, because we're just about 3 minutes away from the news, us to highlight that when we come back from the news, because I mean, it has some persons who can't wait all the hurricane or the storm or even the heavy winds. So when we come back from the 5 p.m. news, I want us to go through that. But let me just go back to what you were saying in terms of creating a plan. This also means that you, as the let's say for instance the household leader, or even other persons in the family, they need to be informed, they need to be aware. So you need to reach out to the Office of Disaster Preparedness and Management, which is the ODPM. You can even reach out to the Borough Corporation. So whichever.
That's right, the Disaster Management Unit or the Borough Corporations in your community.
Correct.
Find out what are the shelters that belong to your area or closest to you.
And you can make those relevant plans. So you must understand the type of house that you are in, or the type of abode that you're in. So you would be able to say, well, listen, I don't feel we'll be able to stay here, you know. So you need to reach out to the corporations or even the ODPM. We need to
If you belong to a low-lying area, Caribbean, you need to move. Most persons who know that they normally get flooded out and the river comes up or the roadway filled in, you need to move. Don't stay in those situations.
Definitely. Yeah? So we're just about a minute and a half away. So let's head to the 5 p.m. news. And then when we come back, we'll talk about how can we further secure our homes. That's for the persons who decide or who thinks that, hey, my home would be strong enough to withstand this. All I could do is just, you know, reinforce it. So when we come back from the news, we'll discuss that. Yes, thank you so much, your Fire Officer Jude. So guys, it's just about 1 minute away from the top. Our 5 p.m. news is coming up next, courtesy JTA Supermarket, followed by our sport report. But continue sending us those messages via WhatsApp 306-1065 as we are talking about hurricane preparedness with Fire Officer Jude Rogers. And this is Safety Mondays.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Safety Mondays. Welcome back, Fire Officer Jude.
Thank you very much, Carrie V. And let's head straight into what you can do to prepare your home if you decide you're going to wait it out at home. So I am only suggesting that you do that if it is that your home is made of what I would say concrete walls, steel roof. You have a very, very strong roof and ceiling. Your area is not prone to landslides, and you also not a low-lying area. If you are in any of those areas that I talked about, where you have trees that may be in close proximity to your home, etc., those type of areas are prone to landslips. Trees may fall. It could fall on your home. Your roof could be blown off if it's in some form of disrepair. And you generally don't want to be in a low-lying area, because flood waters will rise and will make your location a very unsafe location. So what do you do if you're waiting it out at home? One, you want to make sure that your utilities are secured. Water, electricity, and gas lines are turned off. You don't want those to be on. You don't want a rupture of a water line. You should turn off the mains, turn off the electricity mains. That would be your breaker box or your electrical panel. And you wait it out, all right? Store loose outdoor items indoors. So you don't want to have items that can be easily captured by the wind and the high winds blowing around. So you don't want sheets of galvanized. You don't want, sharp objects that can readily be picked up by the wind available and outside. They want to put that in a storeroom, in a locked garage, a locked area, a locked storeroom. Mm-hmm. Don't leave those things because they can end up becoming projectiles in a storm and they can affect you and your family.
Yeah.
Reinforce your windows by boarding them up. You know, you get the plywood and you nail them up or you board them up so you protect the glass. Mm-hmm. You don't want glass shattering and you know, actually creating a space now where the wind and the water can blow directly into your home.
Yeah.
So you board up your windows and your doors, of course, making sure that you still have your exit routes available if you need to exit your home, yeah. All right?
What about sandbags? What about that?
Right, so that is definitely one of the things that you can do. But again, to before you get to the point of sandbags, you can actually clear your gutterings and your drains to make sure that the water runs off properly. And so that way you may not have a buildup of water coming up in your yard. But if you do see that there's a possibility that you have a flat house, it's not a high house, you get your sandbags and you lay them across the areas of the doorways or where water could come in. Some people even put floodgates.
Yeah.
They go as far as having floodgates, especially people who are accustomed to flooding.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a secured door that creates a panel that blocks the doorway. So even if the door is open, there's a rubber securing the area of up to about 2 to 3 feet that could, you know, protect against the water that may rise and come up against your door.
Nice. Now, I have a question for Officer June, right? Now, I know sandbags, they place it in the doorways, right? So that it wouldn't get in. But what if there's an emergency and you need to get out?
Right. So most doors are, then you have to look at the method by which your door swings. So if your door swings outward, you would want to place these sandbags in a circle around that so that your door can open easily. You don't want to place it up against the door and then you're unable to open the door. So you are very correct to ask that question. Mm-hmm. But a lot of our homes, the doorway opens inward, some of them, but they really should swing outward. I would suggest that you create that exclusion zone around the door, the arch of the door, so that the door can open. And of course, some people have sliding doors. Mm. You know, but if your doors swing outwards, you're definitely going to want to put the sandbags or create that barrier in that particular configuration.
Right. Because I was just wondering in my brain, I was like, but wait now, if I put the sandbags there, then how are coming outside?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But all right, I got it. Thanks so much for that. So we need to clean our gutterings, and I think that is one of the most important things because at times we tend to forget to clean that. And the buildup and the leaves and the branches, it causes the water to settle.
That's
and
right. Should be able to flow freely so you don't create any blockage. Let it flow out as fast as it could because it's going to build up anyway.
Right.
All right? If you know that there is a tree or something that's close to your home, those are things that you want to cut or as early as possible. If you can't get it cut, I suggest that you don't occupy the portion of your home that is close to the tree. I know a lot of people who have been affected by large trees close to their homes that have fallen and actually fallen onto the roof and it can cause harm to people, vehicles, and you know, it can cause the loss of life as well.
And talking about vehicles, how can we prepare our vehicles as well? Vehicle preparedness.
Right, so, most people try to put their vehicles in a place where it's on higher ground.
Mm-hmm.
If it's possible, again, if you're not in a zone where you can get your vehicle to higher ground, you know, just try to get it out of the direct forces of the wind. So, you know, it may be to the back or somewhere that could shield it basically from damage and so forth. Some people actually store their vehicles in advance, they move them to a safe place, you know. You know how quickly rain comes down in Port of Spain and how quickly we've seen flooding on the roadway in Port of Spain as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we always look for higher ground, especially when that comes. And you realize how sudden that can come as well, all right?
But let me just add to this. Now, in some areas, and of course you'll have to know where you're living and if it's flood prone.
Yes.
Just remember where exactly it is. So let's say, for instance, we realize that, hey, we'll be having some heavy rains. And you've noticed that, hey, this rain is stopping. You should take your vehicle and not only carry it to higher ground, but see if you can put your vehicle in a place where it does not flood as bad as where you usually park your vehicle. Because where I'm at, we never used to get any type of flooding now, Fire Officer Jude. But when we realize over the years that where we park our vehicles, you know, it starts to flood. So what we tend to do in the middle area where we, in the car park, in the middle area is where it doesn't have the floods. Where
that's
but
right.
The floods is
that's
like lower
right.
down. So what persons tend to do, my neighbors, what we tend to do is when we realize that, hey, plenty rain, we'll run out in the rain.
We'll run out
and move
area.
Yes, and move it. And that is something that we've learned over time because it never used to flood. But then we realized, but wait now, this flooding thing coming, is it starting to get worse? And that's
like
we
what
started
you say,
to do
Carrie,
that.
I like what you're saying. For most of us, we have some form of experience. We know where what the water pattern is when it accumulates over, you know, like an hour, 2 hours of direct rainfall.
Yeah.
And we see where the flooding occurs either on the roadway or close to the area or wherever you may park.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some lessons that we can actually take and learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
And as you rightfully say, find the points or the areas where the water does not affect that area that badly,
yeah.
and you can wait it out in that way.
Correct. And
I'm saying to you, you should know when to go to a shelter.
Yeah.
That's something that I think that's a question a lot of people would ask. When should I go to a shelter? So I want to talk a little bit about the difference between a warning and a watch.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
when we get a watch, when we're given a watch by the Meteorological Service, it really indicates of the possibility of a type of weather system coming. So you should be put on our way. But when you see it turns to a warning, that tells us that it's likely to happen within a certain period of time. And then, of course, they escalated by giving us the different threats, yellow, orange, etc. And, of course, you know, when we get up to anything close to orange or red, you know, it's high. It's the most severe that you can encounter. I am saying that some of us are going to have to take the responsibility of moving our family. I mean, we don't want to, but some of us may have to make the decision to. Once the shelters are open, and once you see shelters opening, it's because we've recognized that it's a severe piece of weather pattern that is going to be coming. And a hurricane, category 1, 2, 3, 4, those are situations where you would want to move your family if you are in what we call a high-risk zone. Everybody on the north coast of Trinidad, they run that risk. Toco, Grand Rivière, Matlot, those areas. Landslide prone, and also think Tobago, Highlands, northeast part of Tobago. And so there are areas that we can identify. Low-lying areas, the Carony Belt, that whole Carony River swamp area. Such areas such as where that flood heavily down in the Pinal area, the Day Bay area. We know those areas perennially have been, and I mean, even though work has been done on the rivers to clear the rivers and the pathway, there is only so much that they can take if there is a constant downpour that is, and that's what you get during a hurricane period. So let me remind you, historically, 1963 Flora. I don't know how many. I wasn't alive, Carrie V. I'm not that old, for those of you wondering. But I would have heard the stories from my grandparents about 63 and Flora. And guess what? It really only hit the north part of Trinidad and Tobago. And yet still, a lot of people lost their homes, their roof in Trinidad. And they got the outer bands of that hurricane. So I think we have been very, very fortunate to have been, as we say, not have a major incident. Tobago has been more affected than us.
Mm-hmm.
But for those of us, because we don't have it in our memory, a lot of us may become a little bit lackadaisical. And that's what this program is designed to do.
Yeah.
Because we haven't experienced it, do not wait for the experience to now figure it out. Because by that time, you're going to lose, you can lose more than property. You can lose your life.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So I don't know if you want to open up the lines.
Yes, we could, but
people have experiences that they may want to share.
Of course.
I don't know if we have any persons who survived Flora that are with us. I would want to share from 1963. It's not that far away.
What?
You know, so the persons who would
not
have had
that far. What do you mean? What? Not our fire scene.
No, there are persons who are alive. I know there are persons who are still alive that experience Flora and those experiences.
But that was a very flat.
But persons in Tobago, they have been affected more than us.
Mm-hmm.
And northern parts of Trinidad, like I said, on that Grand River stretch to be heading to Toco, Sanssouci, Matlot, they have had a lot of landslides and they've even had deaths over the period.
Now, we are getting a call, so let's take it and let's hear who's there. Hello, good afternoon.
It's only me.
The fastest, slowest. Talk to us.
I'm listening in there. You know, if I have a Judah, I saw over the weekend, the Or they walk straight to the road, man.
Yeah, plenty of accidents, yeah, boy. Mm-hmm. Plenty, plenty. You know?
The two guys had to be cut out of the vehicle.
Yeah.
By
safety,
you can't ever be over safety. I know something is saying there. See that door swinging inside and outside?
Yes.
And that is that thing you have to really be mindful of, you know?
People, but what is the proper way, though? What is the correct thing, inside or outside?
Caribbean, all your external doors. Doors that are for emergency exits, doors that for you to exit your home should swing outward. They should not be swinging inward.
Okay.
All right. You'll notice that too, Caribbean. Any doors for you go to the movies, you go to any of those big theaters, you'll realize that they swing outward. That's by design. That's a design. So that when the crowd pushes against you, the door, it doesn't have to pull in to open, naturally opens outward.
Well, that makes
sense. Those are specifically designed for emergency purposes.
All right, gotcha.
So he's right. He's absolutely right.
Yeah, fast track. Go ahead. Sorry. Okay, well, I guess fast track has left the building.
That's a good point that he made, though. Yeah, a very good point that he made. And, condolences to all the families who would have been affected by the loss of life due to vehicle accident. Mm-hmm. I think we need to reiterate a little bit about that, and maybe, but I'm going to invite my friends. Remember, we would have had Jerome from the Arrive Alive team on the program with us. In the past, we've always done programs with Arrive Alive, and it would be a good opportune time for them to give some of the experiences, because they have stories that they can tell as well.
Mm-hmm.
And after an accident, the story goes on, because the victims and how you survive that person is always a telling story, and it leaves an indelible mark on the family.
Wow.
Who survive, persons who have died from accidents. Yes. Yeah.
Well, let's get back to the safety or preparedness during a hurricane or even a storm. Season. What are some of the most common emergencies the fire service responds to during a storm or a hurricane?
Right. Our search and rescue team is normally pretty much engaged during that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, our operations team, and most of it will be persons who may have decided to wait it out at home, and they have to end up seeking rescue or going to higher ground. Some of them end up on their roof and they wait it out there. They have no choice because the water comes up so high. And I don't know if you remember, but back in 2018, 2019, there was a major flood.
Wasn't it 17?
No, it was 18, 19, if I remember well.
Okay.
And
persons were on their roof. I saw that.
People had to go on the roof. And we're talking about it's this area in just to the back of Arima there, going to the back of La Hokita. What's it, Greenvale?
Greenvale.
So there's a point when the river turns. That's the river turn right there, and it broke the bank and flooded out that entire area. Mm-hmm. And that is a well-developed area.
Yeah.
And those are the kind of things can happen. Because of the flat-lying area, that entire area became a floodplain.
Yeah. But
I know people who were trapped in on the Carony northbound lane for at least more than 24 hours.
Yeah, I remember seeing videos and pictures, and I also have a girlfriend living there in Greenville, and her entire apartment, upstairs and downstairs, were flooded out, you know. They were
Caribbean, I can tell you the fire service was fully engaged for that natural disaster. And I remember, again, we had, in addition to the officers, we had persons who were in training. And a lot of our trainees came out and helped with the cleanup efforts.
Yeah.
You know, because there was a lot of washing down and a lot of getting out of the silt out of people's homes. People couldn't return to their homes.
Yeah.
And, it wasn't that people lost their lives, but they lost all of their items.
I remember that.
And it has the potential for disease because here you have a buildup of dirt and smoke, you know, it's really, really bad. And it stays, and when the water stays and it doesn't drain out. I remember we were responded to persons in that area as well, and we had to literally dig holes to the side of the walls and allow the water to drain and push all of that water out of people's homes. And people were power washing for days.
Wow, I remember that. And then after the sun came out and dried it, and dust galore.
Yeah. So there's a potential for disease. So, and you know, people think that the hurricane itself is the major issue, but what about the aftermath and the recovery period? It lasts sometimes for days and weeks.
During the storm, do people overlook fire hazards?
It is possible, but I could tell you that it is the likelihood is less because of the amount of water. Mm-hmm. But what you can have is shorting out of the electrical system,
right,
and possibility of electrocution. So this is why I said one of the main things is to switch off that main breaker in your home,
mm-hmm,
and that allows you not to have any areas within your home that could be energized.
Right, right.
You know, and the tendency is for us to leave the electricity on, but you will know because most of the times the lines go down in your area. You know,
mm-hmm,
not
mm-hmm
much electricity poles remain up during hurricanes. You know, so the likelihood of you having electricity is not going to be very high.
Mm.
So these are real, and the reason why I refer to Grenada is because we saw Grenada. We saw live footage from Grenada, because now we have social media, Caribbean.
Yeah.
So I was getting like I see people roof, like literally like warp, wow, like paper. You saw the rain coming in heavily. You saw palm trees and coconut trees lying down flat.
Mm-hmm.
And this is within our lifetime. So we now have a clear idea. We don't have to face that to know how we should respond. So I'm saying, do not take that chance.
Hmm.
You know, some of our homes are not going to survive.
Yeah.
It's not going to make it.
But,
and so we need to know when to head to the shelters.
Yeah, nice.
It cannot be during the storm.
No, I wanna say it has to be after.
It cannot be during the storm because now you run the risk of being caught up in all of that debris that's going to be flying on the roadway. Hmm. You're probably not going to make it to a shelter if you try to leave during the storm.
So you have to go before. And of course, I know...
make that decision to go before.
To go before.
That's what, if we can leave here with one message is, let's determine when you need to leave, and it has to be before.
It has to. It has to. And they need to check in with the ODPM and even the even their social media pages, the news, listen out for that, listen out. And that is the most important thing here. But
the good thing about it is we have a national bulletin program with the ODPM where they can send false messages, straight push messages, or what they call pan messages, straight through to your phone.
Yeah.
And they can let you know exactly what to do. Hmm. And that's a good thing. We do have a coordinated effort, and that's what I'm very happy about to report to you.
Yeah.
That it's not that we all of the agencies, we come together and we start planning from before, and you're going to get those messages and get guidance along the way. So you can look forward to that.
Now, as we wrap up, because we just have about 4 minutes again, and listeners, you can give us a call, 625-2257 or 627-3223. If you want to get into the conversation, you want to ask Fire Officer Jude Rogers a question, you can do so via our WhatsApp as well. 306-1065, as we are talking about hurricane preparedness, because we're in the smack dead of it. We're in it. Now, Fire Officer Jude, how can communities support the fire service in disaster readiness? What can we do?
Okay, one of the key things that communities can do is to raise your level of awareness and get your community prepared. And you can do that by partnering with the disaster management unit for your area. I myself and many members of the fire service have gone to communities where we have actually trained persons in being able to respond in their communities, and they have been given equipment and they've been given some level of response within their communities. So your community can raise your level of awareness. There are CERT programs where they can certify you as first responders within your communities. Because think about it this way, if roadways are blocked, lines are down, trees are down, the chances of the fire service getting to you in a quick timing is going to be limited. It helps when the communities have resources and have training, and that is available in peacetime, meaning before the hurricane comes, we can train your community. You can use your community centers and begin to empower yourself and empower persons.
Hmm.
So that allows you to have some level of resilience within your community.
Right, nice. Well, Fire Officer Jude, I think this is where we close out today's edition of Safety Mondays, where we spoke about hurricane preparedness. And guys, I hope you take back the information that he had. Don't forget to check out the social media pages of the ODPM and your borough corporation, so that when they send out these bulletins and they send out these informations, you have it ready, all right? It's all about safety preparedness. So I want to thank you so much, Fire Officer Jude, for joining us today. And of course, next week, same time, same place, we're going to do it all again.
Thank you so much, Caribbean. All the best to you and your lovely, lovely, lovely listeners.
Yes.
Take care and God bless.
Safe one.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.